Scripture lesson is taken for Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of God for the people of God.
Last month, I explained to you how the Old Testament is structured. And again, this year is the year of Bible, so I decided to, you know, go over some overview of the Bible. When it comes down to the Old Testament, it has three major parts, I said. The first part is called Torah, instruction, God's law, first five books in the Old Testament. Moses was known as the author of those five books. The next part is called prophets. It's an anthology of prophecies. Of course, the last part is known, third part is known as writings. It's the collection of writings of history and literature. And today, I'm going to talk about the second part of the Hebrew scripture, known to us as prophets. I'm going to do it in a popcorn fashion and Q&A fashion, because there are a lot of information to cover. Okay? So under this category of prophets, there are 17 books. I told you that in the Old Testament, there are 39 books altogether. So prophets cover 17 out of 39. And these books of prophets are covered and classified by the length of each book in two groups. They're classified in two groups. Five of them as major prophets, because they have a lot of chapters to cover. If you remember Isaiah, 66 chapters and so forth, okay? Who are the major prophets' books? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. However, there's one more book you squeezed into and made it into major, the book of Lamentations. Now, if you look at the book of Lamentations, it has only five chapters. So it shouldn't be in the major prophets. However, because it's this authored by the same author, Jeremiah, the prophet. That's why they put them together. Anyway, there are five of them major prophets, and there are 12 of them as minor prophets. Who are they? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, and Haggai, and Zechariah, and Malachi. Where are they? If you look at the very last page of the Old Testament and go back 12 books, those are the minor prophets. Okay? Enough, you know, overview of that books. Now, prophecy in the Bible always involves three parties. Prophecy always involves three parties. First of all, God. And second, God's people here. And prophets who go in between the two. God and God's people and the prophets. So the section we call prophets in the Bible are naturally the collection of God's messages to God's people through the mouths of the prophets. I hope you get that overview. So this morning we'll focus on five things in the question and answer form. And here we go. The first one is who is a prophet in the Bible. Beginning with the Oxford Dictionary definition, I love my Oxford Dictionary. Prophet is, I quote, a person sent by God to teach the people and give them messages from God. Whoever wrote this definition, I think, is very close to the biblical definition. Prophets are indeed God's messengers, like angels. A lot of us love angels, but the difference between the prophets and the angels is that angels are spiritual beings and prophets are human beings, but both of them are the messengers of God. Number two, what is the role of a prophet? The answer is that their main task is to take God's word and God's message to God's people. Now, if you look at today's text one more time, Jeremiah 1:7, it's a perfect definition of the role of the prophet. God says to Jeremiah, "Wherever I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak." That's the role of the prophet. They speak of God to the people of God, and they represent and they reveal the nature of God and the will of God to the people of God. Sometimes prophets speak against injustice in our society, such as greed and exploitation and even trickery in human society. Other times, they carry the messages of comfort and hope to the broken hearts and nations. Oftentimes, they also proclaim the message of doom, lack of a better term, for the people of God so that they may repent. I'll speak a little bit about later. Now, some of us may have a wrong notion that prophets are bad news, that God is mean and he makes our lives miserable through the prophets. Some of us have that notion. No, that's not what prophets are for, folks. Remember that in our nature, we have a tendency, everyone has this, we have a tendency, something called human depravity. What is the human depravity does to us? It leads us to go astray from God and from good. So consequently, in order to bring us back to where we should be, God uses what? His prophets, the messengers of repentance. Now here's another thing of which we need to be aware. The difference between politicians and prophets. Politicians speak of what people want to hear. The key word is want to hear. They offer band-aids to the deep wounds. Their messages may comfort us at first, yet in the end, they often hurt us and disappoint us. Prophets, however, speak of what people need to hear from God. The key word is need to hear. They at times carry scalpels. They declare that a major surgery is a must at times. It hurts at first, but in the end, it heals. Now sometimes prophecies also contain futuristic references. Most of us think that prophecy is something that's going to happen. That's our typical understanding. But I say not every prophecy, and in fact, some prophets, the majority of them, should not have any futuristic references. Now, those prophecies that contain futuristic references, and I'm going to talk about later too. Let me just sum up what I said so far. The nature of prophecy is what? To bring God's message directly to God's people. And the role of a prophet is to call God's people back to God, to call them to repentance, and to edify and comfort them with God's assurance and hope. Next question. Do we still have prophets among us in the 21st century? The answer is yes. God still sends his prophets. I'm going to talk about later too. Number four, can anyone be a prophet of God? The answer is yes and no. The answer is no because prophet is not a self-appointed vocation. For instance, let's say I have a message from God to you, God's people. Don't think as a pastor, but as a regular person. May I make myself a prophet, therefore, and declare so to everyone. I'm a prophet. I'm a messenger of God. Well, it doesn't work that way. Some people do, but it doesn't work that way because it is God who appoints the prophet, not the prophet himself or herself. In other words, it is God, not human beings, who initiates the calling. The answer to the question of can anyone be a prophet of God? The answer is yes. Because prophets do not have to be clergy, for example. And God can call and use anyone. Yes, it is true that clergy can carry out this function of prophet as part of their vocation. Just for your information, the way I understand the role of clergy is threefold. Number one, clergy is a prophet. That means that he stands with God and speaks to God's people as prophet. He also, second function, is priest. This time, clergy stands with God's people and making a case on behalf of God's people as priest. The third function of the clergy is shepherd, literally taking care of the flock. But this function of prophecy doesn't have to be limited to the clergy only. No, because God uses lay prophets. For instance, Amos, one of the 12 minor prophets, was a shepherd back then. He was not a priest. In today's term, the shepherd would have been, the Amos would have been a cowboy. You know, Texas riding on. The bottom line is this, God can call anyone to be his prophet, laity and clergy alike, and children and adults, and male and female, and even a donkey to speak of God's word. True story, if you read in Numbers 22, you'll see that God opened the mouth of a donkey upon which the false prophet Balaam was riding on. Okay? If you're interested in knowing more, read Numbers 22. Anyway, the last question I have is this. How can we tell true prophets from false ones? I'm going to briefly tell you there are three ways that you could test. Okay? Number one, you need to take and test every single word of the prophet against God's word. In other words, prophet says one thing and you attest it to against God's word, and if it is contradictory and contrary to God, what God says in the Bible, you should say you are not a true prophet. Okay? In the first century, John the Apostle had that issue with false prophets. This is how he wrote in 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, speaking to the Christians back then, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You must drag off the false prophets, even from the pulpit, if they preach something that is not from God or of God. You see, in Paul's time, here's an example. In Paul the Apostle's time, there were people who out there going out to the synagogues and the Gentiles particularly, and this is what they proclaimed. Unless you're circumcised according to the Jewish law, you will not be saved. That was false teaching, and that was false prophet. Another example is that in the time of John the Apostle, there are folks who taught that Christ Jesus did not come in human flesh. There's false teaching that no, he never died on the cross because he was a spirit. He never had a human flesh. It was false teaching too. What about today in the 21st century? I would say those folks who proclaim quote unquote health and wealth theology. What is health and wealth? They preach that if you believe in the name of Jesus, you'll be healthy. You'll never get sick. Okay? You'll also be blessed with the material blessings. So you will be rich. Those two things. We all know that though. That's not true. A lot of Christians get sick. A lot of Christians are not filthy wealthy either. See? Those are the false gospel. Anyway, so how do we tell true prophets and false prophets? Number one, as I said, testing every word they preach against God's word. Number two, by looking at their words of prophecy, whether they come true or not. No brainer. Everyone knows that, generally. If their words do not come true, then they are false prophets. We all know that. Who was that? Harold Camp? Prediction of the end of the world? What was it? Remember how many we read? Harold Camping, was it? Yeah. Didn't come true. Therefore, we know that it's not true. Now, there are some exceptions. I mean, that's how we know generally, but there are some other exceptions. You see, there are two kinds of prophecy. One is sort of decree that will happen and there is no change whatsoever, no matter what, right? Here's an example. Prophecy will never change. Jesus prophesied about the end times, okay? He says that when it really comes to the close to the end of age, you will see a lot of wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and all these things, including persecution of the believers in the end times. It's not going to change, folks. It will be fulfilled as he prophesied. There are other prophecy, however, rather conditional. May I say conditional? Means that it depends on. Here's a perfect example. We all know the story of Jonah, who was swallowed up by the big fish, and 3 days later he was spat out, right? Onto the dry ground, and he went to the city of Nineveh and preached the word of God. What was the word of God? He preached to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was the enemy of the Israel, by the way. And anyway, modern day Iraq. So what he did is that 40 days, you will all be gone. God will destroy the city in 40 days. That's what he proclaimed. Well, Jonah waited and waited and waited, and 40 days passed. Didn't happen. I'm sure he was very embarrassed. Lord, what happened to me? Isn't that why I didn't want to go first time? But you sent me and proclaimed this 40-day doom, you know, destruction, and didn't happen. And Jonah said to God, I'd rather die. You see? Personally, I see myself in Jonah. That's how I would react with God too. But this is what God said. Jonah, Jonah, you proclaim my message. However, after they heard my message of doom and destruction, they changed. They repented. So God says, I changed my mind. I didn't, you know, punish them. So there's certain prophecy said originally, didn't happen, didn't come true, because God changed the mind. So there are things like that too. But anyway, that's rather exceptional, not just common. The third way to tell the difference between the true prophets and the false ones is to look at the holiness in their lifestyles. Here's an example. If the prophets lifestyle is rather immoral. For example, let's say the pastor is a wonderful prophet of God. However, he is in the adulterous relationship, seeing someone else outside marriage. You know that prophet is not a true prophet. Here's another example. If the prophet seeks personal gain at the expense of God's people. I think it was just 2 or 3 days ago, we heard the news about a televangelist seeking $54 million donations from his. How many of you heard of it? Jesus says in Matthew 7, you will know them by the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So it's your duty, folks, to apply all these three ways. Number one, testing every word of prophet against God's word. Number two, you're looking at the words of prophets, whether they will come true or not. Number three, you need to look at their lifestyles. Okay? Now, being a prophet is a lonely job. It's a thankless job, basically. Most of the time, prophets are not welcomed by God's people. Why? Because they carry the message of truth, which people don't want to hear. Here's some examples. Did you know that even Jesus Christ himself was almost killed by the people in his own town, Nazareth? When he spoke the truth, they tried to push him off the cliff. And Jesus, of course, escaped. What about the prophet who was stoned to death, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7? Even Moses, he almost was stoned by the people of Israel once. So you could say that's part of the job. Occupational hazard, we call. A prophet must be true, however, and faithful to God first and to God's people. I too, yours truly, since I carry one of the three functions of a clergy, a prophet, I want to fulfill that role with God's help and with your prayers. To sum it up, what I said, throughout history, God has been speaking to us through prophets. He still does today in the 21st century, this time mostly through the written word of God. So when you read some sections in the Old Testament prophets in the Bible, and God will speak to you. In all the prophecies of the Bible, I hope and pray that you'll find the common theme. What is that? Prophet is sent by God to call you and God's people to obey Him and to love Him with all your hearts and minds. That's the spirit of the prophets. Let's bow our heads and pray. It is indeed very simple to understand how you look at us, Lord. Most of us think that God is almighty and sitting up high in heaven, quite distant and aloof from our daily struggles. But that's not how the Bible says. Rather, the Bible calls us, God loves us, and God has called us to be His children. And He also has highest expectation ever. Your dream and your vision for each and every child of yours to make them like you, Lord. Be like God in our character, in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts. With that, you use your messengers, prophets, to bring us back to where we should be all the time. Help us, Lord, to welcome the message of the prophets. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.